Our sermon today is based on a reading from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Thank you, God, for all the opportunities we have to show our love for you. So as we are going through what I call a season of blessing, we've looked at some of the stories of our spiritual ancestors and the way they received blessings from God when they said yes to God's call. But I have to ask, what is a blessing to you? I should have asked that question from the start. What does it mean when we say we are blessed? Of course, we could probably list so many different things that we would consider to be blessings: health, wealth, food, friends, our mobility and other abilities, our cars, our homes. But can something seemingly not so good be a blessing? This is the question Peter makes us ask. On the shore of the lake in one of his resurrection appearances, Jesus confronted Peter, and no, confront is not too strong a word for this encounter. Peter, you will recall, had denied knowing Jesus three times on the night of Jesus' arrest, just as Jesus had predicted he would. When the rooster crowed, Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the rooster crows three times, you will deny knowing me." And he went out and wept bitterly. Poor Peter. He was so ashamed of himself. Not long before this, hours ago at the Last Supper, he had declared, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And boom, that's exactly what he did. Peter had always been kind of boastful and a braggart, and now he felt the weight of his prideful words falling on his shoulders. Now it's a few days later. Peter was excited to see Jesus again, so excited that he jumped off the boat and swam right up to him. Now as they sat at breakfast, Peter was probably hoping Jesus wouldn't bring up his former failure, but wouldn't you know it, that was exactly what Jesus did. No, not in so many words. Jesus didn't turn to Peter and say, "Why did you deny me, Peter?" And not once, but three times. He merely asked Peter a simple question: "Do you love me?" Peter correctly surmised that Jesus was testing him, trying to find out if he truly loved him. He thought he had given the right and definitive answer: "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know I am sorry, sorry, sorry for denying you. I know I betrayed you and showed you I didn't love you as I ought, as I bragged I did. If I could go back in time and not deny you, I would. But you know I love you, don't you?" Peter thought answering the first question, the matter would have been settled. Jesus probably asked him the first time, then let the conversation go to another subject. In the middle of that discussion, as Peter was feeling he vindicated himself, Jesus asked it again: "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter didn't expect Jesus to ask him the same question a second time, but he gave him the same answer: "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Another lull, another pause, and the question came to him again: "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, indeed, Peter might have felt hurt. What did Jesus want him to do? What did Jesus expect him to say? Why did Jesus keep badgering him with this question? He was being as sincere as he could be. How else could he prove his love? There's a lot of debate over the Greek words Peter and Jesus used in their answers and questions. Some scholars say Jesus asked Peter if he loved his Lord divinely and devotedly, And Peter replied that he was fond of Jesus, that he loved Jesus like a brother, but not wholeheartedly. Perhaps Peter felt Jesus wouldn't believe him if he affirmed he loved Jesus to the death. Hadn't he proved that that wasn't so? At the first sign of trouble, Peter had lied to save his own skin. Peter responded that he was not capable of the divine, all-encompassing love Jesus demanded from him. He could never live up to that ideal. The first thing Peter said to Jesus on the other shore when they first met was, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I'm not worthy. I'm going to let you down. Let's not even get this whole thing started." But Jesus believed in Peter more than Peter believed in himself. And that was why Jesus called him anyway. And that's why Jesus didn't give up on him, even after he proved himself a fair-weather friend. And that's why Jesus could tell him that no matter what, he would be blessed. Peter had once denied Christ, but he spent the rest of his life making it up to Jesus, staunchly and steadily preaching about him, even in the face of distraction and threats. For Peter, there was the blessing of getting back into Jesus' good graces, the blessing of restoration. There was a blessing of knowing he was forgiven and Jesus would never bring up the matter again. He was blessed with a new sense of purpose and belonging. There was the blessing that, like Jonah, he had been given another chance to prove himself faithful to God. The common consensus is that Jesus asked him about his love three times in order to rectify or nullify Peter's three denials. Three times he said no to all those accusing him of being one of Jesus' followers. Now three times he said yes to Jesus, a yes for every no. It was a moment of reconciliation and restoration for Peter. It was a moment of blessing, except the blessing Jesus promised to him was an odd one. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Jesus was talking about Peter's death. Church historians say Peter was executed in Rome some 30 years after this. Legend has it Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy of dying in the same manner as his Lord had died. So Peter said yes, and Peter was blessed. With death? How could a cruel, horrifying death be a blessing? John, the purported writer of this gospel, said Peter's death would glorify God. Of course, we all want to glorify God, but by dying? How can that be? Wouldn't it glorify God more if we were able to continue serving God in our various capacities alive? As the quote on the screen proclaims, for Peter, it was a blessing to have God's mercy, to have a living hope, to be born again. Indeed, those are all blessings for which we long. But death, a blessing? And yet sometimes we do say death is a blessing. For instance, when someone is suffering terribly from some disease or other illness, death is then a kind of release and a relief. Peter would be executed because he continued to preach and proclaim the goodness of God, carrying on the work of Jesus, the work Jesus had committed to him when he said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." There would be enormous blessings in that work as well, sharing with others the story and the glory of Jesus, helping lambs learn and mature so that in turn they could carry on the work as well. Perhaps what underlies this entire warning from Jesus is realizing that blessings aren't necessarily material. Blessings can take strange forms. Staying true to God and the mission God has given to you is a blessing. Can a cross, especially an upside-down cross, be a blessing? I believe we would all say it is. Jesus said yes to God, even knowing his yes would lead to his death. And yet his death led to blessings for all of us, because he didn't stay dead. Jesus was resurrected to eternal life. And that is the blessing Peter received, and that is the blessing that awaits us all. Let us pray. Thank you for all the forms in which your blessings come to us, God. Sometimes we don't realize a blessing is a blessing, or even that it comes from you, because it doesn't look like we think it should. Help us to find the blessings that are there in our hard times, our tough times, our confusing times, our tempting times. Let us find the blessing of redemption and restoration and fulfilling future in your kingdom. Amen.
Cheers.